Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text Number 37. Nahi tasya vikalpakya yacca mad vikshaya hata adihantat prachit khyatis tadaha sampadyate maya. Not he certainly tasya, for the realized person, vikalpa, of something separate from Krishna, akya, perception, ya, which perception, cha, also, mat, of me, vikshaya, by realized knowledge, hata, is destroyed, until deha, of the body, antat, the death, vachit, sometimes, khyati, such perception, tadaha, then, sampadyate, achieves equal opulences, maya, with me. Translation: a realized soul no longer sees anything as separate from me, for his realized knowledge of me has destroyed such illusory perception. Since the material body and mind were previously accustomed to this kind of perception, it may sometimes appear to recur, but at the time of death, the self-realized soul achieves opulences equal to mine. So this translation here, Lord Sri Krishna continues his instructions to Uddhava. So we'll read the purport by the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Krishna explained in verse 32 of this chapter that all material and spiritual objects are expansions of His potency. By realized knowledge of the Lord, one gives up the illusion that anything, anywhere, at any time can be separate from Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna has also explained, however, that one must keep the material body and mind fit for executing devotional service. Therefore, even a self-realized soul may sometimes appear to accept or reject certain conditions or objects within this world. Such brief apparent duality of concentration upon something other than Krishna does not change the liberated status of a self-realized soul, who achieves at the time of death the same opulences as Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. Just in case anyone was distracted during our extra conversation, the purport here was stating that Krishna is explaining to Uddhava that nothing is separate from him. At the same time, one must keep the body and soul fit for executing devotional service. So to that degree, one is thinking about the body and the mind. So therefore, sometimes even a self-realized soul may sometimes appear to accept or reject certain conditions or objects within this world, reflecting on the relating to the body and mind. Such brief apparent duality of concentration upon something other than Krishna does not change the liberated status of a self-realized soul who achieves at the time of death the same opulences as Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. The function of illusion is to separate one from Lord Krishna. But the brief and occasional appearance of duality in the behavior or mentality of a pure devotee never separates him from the Lord. It does not constitute actual illusion, for it lacks the essential function of illusion, namely the separation of one from Lord Krishna. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura describes the self-realized devotee as follows. So here we have the opportunity to hear the very transcendentally realized words of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura himself on this subject. So he describes, the devotee of the Lord does not see anything as separate from Lord Krishna and thus does not consider himself to be a permanent resident of the material world. At every moment the devotee is moved by his desire to serve Lord Krishna. Just as those who are inclined to sense gratification pass their time making arrangements for their enjoyment, similarly, the devotees are busy throughout the day arranging their devotional service to Lord Krishna. Therefore, they have no time to act like materialistic sense enjoyers. To ordinary persons, it may seem that a pure devotee is seeing something as separate from Krishna, but a pure devotee is actually fixed in his status as a liberated soul and is guaranteed to achieve a spiritual body in the kingdom of God. Ordinary materialistic persons cannot always understand the activities of a pure devotee of the Lord, and thus they may try to minimize his position, considering him to be the same as themselves. At the end of life, however, the results achieved by the devotees of the Lord and ordinary materialists are vastly different. So I'll read the translation again for those at home. A realized soul no longer sees anything as separate from me, for his realized knowledge of me has destroyed such illusory perception. Since the material body and mind were previously accustomed to this kind of perception, it may sometimes appear to recur, but at the time of death, the self-realized soul achieves opulences equal to mine. So, here, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava and just clearing up some very subtle differences in perception as to one, how one may perceive a self-realized devotee of the Lord. Of course, this sort of information is very relevant to everyone within ISKCON, and anyone who really comes to ISKCON, because they're guaranteed that they're going to be associating with some very self-realized souls. The difficulty, of course, is that whether they recognize that they're associating with a self-realized soul, or whether they are seeing that, oh, this person's activities are similar to mine, so therefore this person is in the same bodily concept of life as I am. So that's what this verse is helping to clear up. It is a perception, it is a mistake that's not just made by people who visit the temple, who are not really practicing devotional service, pure devotional service. They're not even practicing mixed devotional service very often. But this verse is also applicable to devotees who take to the path of pure devotional service and may be in the neophyte or even approaching the Majjhima Adhikari stage, they need to be able to very clearly understand the position of a self-realized soul and not make mistakes which could create serious offenses and serious impediments to their advancement in Krishna consciousness. So this is probably best illustrated by an example. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Mauritius and he gave a lecture describing how one actually sees everything in relationship with Krishna. And such a person who is able to see everything in relationship with the Supreme Lord can understand one's own position as the eternal servant of the Lord, and can see the situation of everyone else as the eternal servant of the Lord, and therefore they have equal vision, Pandita Samadashina. So he quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita 5.18. So that was the essence of his lecture. So then when it came time for questions, some of the young Indian gentlemen in the audience, because there's a a strong Hindu community in Mauritius, they asked certain questions which Srila Prabhupada answered. So then an elderly Indian gentleman presented his question to Srila Prabhupada, beginning that you have answered some questions from these young boys, now take a question from an old man. And of course you can probably detect that you've done alright with these inexperienced boys, let's see how you do with me. So, and Srila Prabhupada immediately called him out as a you are neither old nor young, Pandita Samadashina. So immediately he called him out in bodily conception of life, posing as very advanced, obviously not inclined to hear the lecture, something else going on in his head. So within a second he's called him out, it's old man, young man. So anyway, he then the Indian gentleman asked that if he said that you've quoted many different shastras, which and we can learn something from your lecture, how we can realize some aspects of our relationship with the Supreme Lord, become self-realized. But do you think that all these scriptures you have quoted are actually authoritative, or are they just stories? So of course, again, you can pick up that in his mind, they're just stories. So he's correcting Srila Prabhupada. Perhaps you need some. So you can detect this mentality at Vanmanyate Jagat. That I am perceiving you to be not much different to me. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that these are all compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, therefore they're authoritative. Bhagavad Gita, Ramayana, of course, described by, written by Valmiki, and Srila Prabhupada included. This is also authoritative. So then the Indian man presented his challenge that if someone is receiving instructions from God. So, you know, the claim that if these are actually the instructions from God, then we would expect something, some good result. We're claiming Bhagavad Gita is the instruction from God, the Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So God is personally coming to give instructions, just like we're hearing these instructions from Krishna to Uddhava. So then you would expect that God is speaking, or what is a wonderful result. So his challenge is that, how is it, if this is so, that after receiving such instructions, one would act in a ridiculous way? So, Srila Prabhupada, question, so, what is this ridiculous way? So then, he began to go on with some explanation of the scriptures. And Srila Prabhupada stopped him. No, first you correct yourself. And what is this ridiculous? Srila Prabhupada is very good like that. If you hear someone's going to base a whole argument on a faulty statement, if you can prove that the initial statement is faulty, the rest of the argument falls. So what, first correct yourself, what is this ridiculous? So then he explained that, how is it that someone can receive good instruction from the Supreme Lord, and then within a very short time, within days, act completely on the bodily conception of life and be completely disturbed for the loss of his son? So Srila Prabhupada began to understand. So he's speaking about Arjuna. There's Arjuna, so yes, I'm speaking about Arjuna. That Arjuna received the instructions of Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. This is what he was projecting. And then, practically, then, of course, the battle of Kurukshetra began. And after some time, Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, was killed. And when he was killed, Arjuna was absolutely devastated. Tears just poured from his eyes. He was so inconsolable, so distressed, so disturbed, that I think Yudhisthira, and there was only two who could actually look at Arjuna. No one else dared to look at him, even his other brothers. Arjuna was so angry, so disturbed, so upset, and so grief-stricken, no one would even look at him. They could not bear Arjuna's glance. At one stage, Arjuna was rolling on the ground, crying like a little boy. So disturbed. So this is, this is the incident he's referring to. So, he is asking, so where is the question of us accepting that God has given him instruction? Because he's acting like completely in the bodily conception of life, and grieving for the body, and completely disturbed, as if he never had any real good instruction. So where's the question of education? So in this way, he again stated, this is, how could he act in this ridiculous way? So, Srila Prabhupada began to question that, he began to explain that If one actually receives, Prabhupada's statement was that, you do not know what education is, because if one actually receives proper education, he does not act ridiculously. So this gentleman asking the questions, he began to try and discuss this point of education. And as he tried to discuss this point of education, what is education, what is not education, Śrīla Prabhupāda interjected again, stating that real education, if there is real education, then one does not act ridiculously. So the man got a little upset, you're not hearing me. So Śrīla Prabhupāda stated, I'm not hearing you because you're speaking ridiculously. It's like, what's there to hear? You're speaking ridiculous statements. So, this man's wanting Prabhupada to hear him rather than him listening to Prabhupada. And so the Prabhupada's saying, that's not going to happen because you're speaking ridiculously. So, here this person, of course, is, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, he tried to show his prowess in the presence of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport there that when an insignificant person tries to show their prowess before someone who's actually very exalted, they just reveal their own ludicrous position. So, this person was actually more and more revealing his own ludicrous position by trying to present himself as very exalted in the presence, even though he's very insignificant, in the presence of someone who actually was exalted. And Prabhupada pointed that out, that you're speaking ridiculously. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada explained that Arjun accepted the instruction from Lord Sri Krishna, and his reaction when Abhimanyu died was natural, but it was actually temporary. Arjun never actually left the battlefield. And that is the proof. And Srila Prabhupada quoted Bhagavad Gita 1873, that Arjun said, that now my illusion is gone and I am prepared to act according to your instruction. And the fact is that even though his son was killed and it was so, he was so grief-stricken by that, he never gave up the instruction of Krishna. He never left the battlefield. But it's a very good example that how sometimes from someone else's vision, someone who is does not have transcendental vision, they can see a self-realized soul, and sometimes it may appear that a person, it recurs that they appear to be acting on the bodily concept of life. In the case of Arjun, he wasn't acting on the bodily concept of life. But even some self-realized devotees because of acting, you know, within the body over many, many lifetimes, they will, in fact, temporarily act on the bodily concept of life to some degree, or to some degree they may even purposely have to assume that sort of mode of thought. To give an example, Srila Prabhupada, of course, was not in the bodily concept of life, and yet, so, you know, he didn't favour very much taking Western medicines, having operations, always going to hospital, always seeing a doctor every couple of days. You know, in the West, you know, people go to doctors all the time, they're always having operations, and, you know, like this. Srila Prabhupada was actually against that. There was no real need. But it didn't mean that he wasn't looking after the body in which he was utilizing for preaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, once he was advised that he should take morning walks. And Srila Prabhupada immediately accepted that advice and made it a regular part of his daily activities to always take a morning walk. He also received massage daily, and you know, in various ways he looked after the body as if he were the body, but he wasn't in the bodily concept of life. He knew that he had to look after that body to keep it as fit as possible for preaching Krishna consciousness. Actually, at the very last stages of Srila Prabhupada's life, you know, within days of him leaving his body, his disciples were begging him, "You please stay." And Srila Prabhupada was discussing with Krishna, "If Krishna wants me to stay, then I'll stay. If Krishna wants me to go back, then I'll go back." So the disciples are trying to get him, "You stay here." And Srila Prabhupada was discussing with Krishna. So at one stage he said, "Okay, I'll stay." And he said to his disciple, "That means I have to, you know, look after the body." He said, "Don't think it's going to happen automatically. It means I have to eat a little, drink a little, like that." So Srila Prabhupada was completely self-realized, completely in his understanding his eternal spiritual identity with Krishna. He was talking with Krishna. But if he stayed in the material world, he had to act as if he were the body to keep the body fit and healthy for preaching Krishna consciousness. So that is a very, very elevated state of self-realization. And then, you know, even in the there are many devotees who are self-realized, and yet there are still vestiges of many, many, many lifetimes of being in the bodily concept of life, where they're acting to keep the body and soul fit for Krishna consciousness, and to some degree or another, sometimes the bodily consciousness recurs a little bit for them. Not often, but to some degree. Still, their position, as Krishna states here, is different from those who are completely in the bodily concept of life, who at after death are going to take another body, one of the 8,400,000 species of life. even that devotee who is, you know, very fixed up in their constitutional position that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and very fixed in that service, and there's some reoccurrence of that bodily, you know, association because they're maintaining the body and soul together. Even then, by the time they actually come to the point of death, they're also going back to Godhead. They're also, you know, purifying their existence, and at the end of the life, you know, many of those will actually go back to Godhead. So their position is different. That is what Krishna is explaining here. Sometimes something appears to be the same. Again, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a kite, that if you see someone and they have the string and the spindle and then the kite, and someone may also think, yes, you know, I can do that, but what they don't understand is that although it appears to be one activity, but the operator of that kite is able to make the kite go up or make the kite go down, and there is a difference. So the devotees of the Lord, by their activities, they're elevating themselves upward to the spiritual world, and the materialists, even though they're doing exactly the same activities, what appears to be exactly the same, their activities are actually taking them down again into material bodies, even though it appears to be the same. There are many, many similarities, but there's some points of difference they're not understanding, and that is within the operation of the spindle. Of course, we should try and understand that position of devotees, and be very careful not to create offences. You see, here in that lecture that I was discussing, Srila Prabhupada very strongly defended Arjuna from that criticism. And that person was, you know, quite strongly chastised by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was very forceful. What is that ridiculous? You know, he was when this person challenged a self-realized, you know, pure devotee of Krishna, Prabhupada was, you know, sitting up and very strong. He was not going to have any of it. So that's how we should be. We should, you know, when we the devotees should have that ability to perceive the situation of the devotees, and when there is, you know, fault finding, one should be able to defend them. As Prabhupada says, that there are two types of persons. One is a fly, one is a bee. The fly is looking, where is the stool, where is the dirt? And the bee is looking, you know, where is the honey? So we should be like the honeybee, not like the fly. Sometimes, for instance, I was sitting with Aniruddha Prabhu the other day, and they invited me to have some prasadam. So there was a little bit of discussion. Aniruddha Prabhu was pointing out a couple of different things about prasadam and what have you. And, you know, of course, I was understanding that he's helping the devotees that he's speaking to come to the proper standard of preparing prasadam and serving prasadam like that. It would appear, though, from appearances, if one didn't understand, one would think, oh, gee, you know, he's really fussy about his eating, isn't he? You know, he said, you know, one can easily could easily take it like that. That again, in the beginning of the class, no one had brought water. They didn't open the book. There was no garment. So for myself, I don't care. But if I don't say anything and Prabhupada's standard drops, then that's not very good. So, you know, we have to be a little careful in seeing how sometimes older devotees may be a little critical in how they're, you know, in the way they're picking up devotees. You know, why have you done this and what have you? One should be very careful, because sometimes it can just appear that such a person is just thinking, oh, you know, boy, you're really self-centered, you just want everything perfect for yourself and, you know, what have you. One can see, you know, very easily criticized, have the wrong mentality. So devotees have to be very careful like that. At the same time, one should also recognize when someone is in the bodily concept of life and is not a, you know, mature elder devotee, and is actually acting, you know, literally out of, you know, a sense of their own interest separate from Krishna. But sometimes that happens. It's a little subtle, but that's why we have these verses. Krishna gives us these verses so we can discuss them, appreciate that these subtle differences are there, you know, ask questions, look at it from many different angles of vision. And this way, Krishna is, you know, giving protection, like a kind father, of his movement, International Society of the Krishna Consciousness, by making us fully aware of how to progress without, you know, dropping into the pitfalls along the way. So in summary, Krishna is pointing out here to Uddhava that the self-realized souls, sometimes it appears that they're acting in a way that's separate from Krishna, almost as if they're in the bodily concept of life, but actually their position, they never really fall from their position of self-realization, and they're at the end of their lives, they're actually going back to the spiritual world. And that position is different from those who are constantly in the bodily concept of life and who will actually take another birth in a material body at the end of this life. And one should draw that distinction. So is there any comments or questions?
Judgments on a senior Vaishnava because of our lack of tests of understanding.
It's a fact that one, if you get the opportunity to associate with an advanced devotee, you should take it. It's not necessary that one should, you know, think that I'll spend, you know, 1 or 2 years getting used to, you know, the general devotees before I really take association with very senior devotees. If you get the opportunity, you should actually take it immediately. And just be really careful. Srila Prabhupada actually mentioned in one lecture that actually if one is sincere, they generally don't make mistakes, because Krishna guides them. There are many instances of devotees falling into the association, falling over, tripping into the association of Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, because of their sincerity, their willingness to hear, just, you know, that clarity to appreciate, here is someone very saintly, and just being a little respectful. You know, they've even though they're completely inexperienced and said some really foolish things and done some really foolish things, still they've been able to associate. You know, when there's some insincerity or some ulterior purpose in one's desire to associate, then one is certainly liable to commit mistakes. And in that case, you know, what you're saying is good, that perhaps the general congregation of devotees may want to advise that person to be, you know, a little, you know, cautious about approaching advanced devotees. So that's, you know, definitely for their own protection. But we would do that generally if we see that there's some wrong motive or, you know, insincerity in that person. They'll probably make some mistakes. But even if they're very, very neophyte, if they're, you know, sincere and properly motivated, then it's good for them to take that association as much as that opportunity is there.
I remember from my own initial days, when I met my spiritual master for the very first time, and usually people don't directly approach, just run behind. But it was Prabhupada Sankirtan was going on, and he was walking, and nobody was with him. And I thought that's an excellent opportunity for me to present myself to them. But what I didn't realize, these foolish activities, so I just went behind him and I said, I have to remember me, my day. I started talking to him as a very casual man. And then he just started nodding and then he just continued walking. He said, yes, I remember, and so on and so forth. And I thought that, why are others so foolish that they are not talking to him the way that I am? Everyone should take advantage of this. But later on I realized that I was the only odd man out. And there was a completely entire mood in the congregation which I never associated with the congregation. I failed to observe the mood of my senior partners, and I tried to act very smart. And then I realized at that point, and it's very important to know how to. Yeah, I definitely need to approach him, but the process we may take it very carefully. And if he would have chastised me at that time, there would have been a high level of possibility that I would have not liked it. Because I wouldn't have understood what is, I wouldn't know what I'm doing wrong. So I mean, he just says that I may not be able to understand it, because I'm never associated with the devotees to understand how to associate with the senior Vaishnava. That was the.
Well, because, you know, if they're actually senior devotees, they will immediately recognize a young devotee, you know, someone who's very green and inexperienced, and they're not likely to chastise, and they're likely just to reciprocate with that person without expecting that that person should know certain etiquettes and what have you. And it sounds like in that, you know, encounter, you didn't really, you quickly, you know, understood, seeing other you know, the mood of others. So you very quickly came to a consciousness that it takes people, you know, hundreds of lifetimes to come to. Within, you know, a matter of minutes, what have you, you've been able to understand, oh, here's a very exalted personality, we have to approach them with great respect and humility. That realization does not dawn for hundreds of millions of lifetimes for some people. By his association, it appeared in you within minutes. That is the association of advanced devotees. So there's no harm. He saved you hundreds of lifetimes. Yep. Oh, sorry, I was.
I've just got a question about the Ajit story. It just sounds like, you know, like when we eat, we eat because the body has a need for food. So when Ajit was grieving, I kind of assumed that the body, his body was in need of grief.
No. Arjuna's body was completely spiritual, and all the emotions that Arjuna experienced intensified his mood of service to Krishna. Every emotion that Arjuna experienced in relationship to his son passing away intensified his mood of serving Krishna. Therefore, on the opposite side, Duryodhana and the others, they were thinking, boy, we've got these Pandavas in our hand now. Arjuna will be devastated. We've, you know, removed Abhimanyu, very valiant fighter, very, very, you know, key fighter. That the enemy surrounded him, and by unfair means they killed him. It wasn't fair, Kshatriya, or the rules of warrior. So they thought, we've removed Abhimanyu and we've removed Arjuna, you know, the key figure in this army of the Pandavas. But Arjuna, as a result of Abhimanyu being killed, he took vows that, you know, his determination to execute the order of Krishna, and his understanding of why Krishna wanted these evil-minded people to be killed became more clear. He understood that these people are capable of anything. In fact, you know, later on, the same people, in their unfair means of warfare, they killed Abhimanyu's sleeping five sons. Aswatthama, while his sons were sleeping, they came and killed them. It was not, you know. A very interesting point on that was that I was listening to a lecture. Devotees were describing how, talking about Hitler, that being demoniac. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, he was more a gentleman than the American president, because Prabhupada said that the information he had was that actually Hitler had the information of how to create the atomic bomb first, but he said he didn't want to use it. Because of the way the bomb is dropped and just destroys every innocent person, creature, mother, child, everyone destroyed Hera, and he said he was actually more of a gentleman than the Americans, because they just, you know, dropped that bomb. It was just such a horrible way to, you know, enact warfare. So we know that Hitler was certainly quite demoniac, but still, Srila Prabhupada said he had some more, you know, codes of gentlemanness, not much, but than the Americans. But these, the side that Arjuna was fighting with, they had no principles, no principles at all. There were no codes, no sense of gentlemanness. They broke all the codes, and their plan for ruling the world was based upon their personal gaining personal power, personal pleasure, personal sense gratification, and they really did not have the ultimate benefit of the world, you know, at hand. Whereas Krishna, he wanted the Pandavas to rule the world because he knew that they would actually look after the interest of every living entity on the planet. Right? So Arjuna, with the death of his son, it just reinforced the nature of the people he was dealing with, that they should be rooted out, as Krishna desired. And it also, it increased his determination to, you know, fight and execute that order of Krishna. So all his emotions, as a result of that, in relationship to Krishna's order, became intensified. Whereas, so his thoughts of Krishna, his remembrance of Krishna, became more intense. Whereas when we have some emotional crisis, we completely forget God. Usually we're already forgetting God, and when we have some difficulty, we become more determined to forget God. And Srila Prabhupada explains that during the war, because he had contact with different God brothers of his who were in Germany, and they told him that, you know, all of the women, they prayed, you know, let my husband come home, let my son come home. They prayed to God constantly, and when, you know, they all didn't come home, they all gave up their belief in God. So when their sons and when their husbands and when their, you know, men did not come home, they become more determined to forget God. So there's a difference between Arjuna's situation and the situation of an ordinary person who appears to do exactly the same, and one should be able to spot that difference. The difference is that everything a devotee does is always in relationship with God, and the non-devotees appear to do the same thing, but they're in the illusion that they're doing things separately from God. Do you understand that point?
Yeah, I understand. Yep. So, Arjuna had a choice.
Yes.
He could have remained humble, or he could have grieved, but he chose to grieve.
Well, it's actually natural for the spirit soul to have, you know, feelings. We don't have feelings because we're in a material body. We have feelings because we're a spirit soul. The material body has no feelings. It is just a lump of earth and dirt. We have spirits. We have feelings because we're a spirit soul. It's natural for us to have feelings. The natural feelings we have are in relationship to the absolute truth, reality. And the unnatural feelings we have is when we those feelings are covered by illusion or a material concept of life, and our feelings are in relationship in forgetfulness of Krishna.
What would the end result be the same?
to fight in a battle where the just to put in proportions, the side that Arjuna was on, their military strength was compared to a tiny little, what do they call it, a little krill, what whales eat, the krills, a tiny little plankton type thing, compared to the huge whale. So the opposing army was this, massive force, outnumbered them, just beyond what one could imagine. In order to actually, there was no way that they could win. From ordinary perspective, they were defeated before they began. Such were the odds. Without some, massive determination and ferocious throwing yourself ferociously at that opposing army, they were not going to win. It increased his determination. Just like sometimes, we've all had the experience where we may try to do something and we fail. And they say failure is a pillar of success. You come out of it, you're disturbed. At first you lament, I failed. You're disturbed. But then, that's just naturally pushes forth this, next time, I'm going to try harder. And, it just creates a determination. It's a natural, extra force must be used, and so you summon that extra force from within. So that is Arjuna's position. Huh? Thank you. Very nice questions. Any other comments or questions? Jai, all good, Shri Prabhupada.